new message.
What up, what up? It's Heather's cousin. You dated her in college, or maybe you were just in the same class. Anyway, I heard you bought a boat, my man. Let's hit the water. Oh, and Heather told me you always liked, snacks and stuff, so I could totally bring some chips.
When you get a boat, you also get new friends. Make sure Progressive's one of them, and get coverage today for as little as $100 a year.
Hey, also, I'm a little short on cash, so can you cover the chips? Thanks. I can see why Heather liked you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
New message.
Hey, man, it's Devin. You know, from that time you accidentally emailed me because you thought I was a different Devin. Oh, and your email signature said confidential. If you received this in error, please delete. That's so you. Anyway, I heard you bought a boat. When are we setting sail, Captain?
When you get a boat, you also get new friends. Make sure Progressive's one of them. And get coverage today for as little as $100 a year.
Oh, and no, you did not receive this message in error.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
According to an NBC poll, the most important thing to Americans is not the economy. That's actually third on their list, my friends. According to NBC News, the preservation of the democracy, even though we're not a democracy, is what's top of mind. 21% of voters think that's the number one issue. The economy is still number three. Might I suggest that... The idea that the democracy is imperiled is only because of left-wing totalitarianism of the American left. I'm just going to suggest that. And that more and more Americans are awakening to that fact. And maybe that's why they're losing rights, they're losing liberties, they're losing their free speech, and they get it. And it ain't conservatives doing it. So that's the simple fact of the matter. But the economy has got to be weighing in. Economics is freedom. If you can rub two pennies together, you can put food on the table, you can keep a roof over your head, so people feel out of control, not in control of their own destiny, when of course they have no food, when they have no money. And that's exactly what Beijing Biden's America has provided. Case in point, there are those out there who have been distressed over the gas prices, and they should be. Gas prices have triggered massive recessions as they have triggered this recession. They are an integral part of recessionary pressures. And I'm looking at what CNN did on Friday, and I'm just saying, you've got to be kidding me. These shrubs over there who were supposed to be getting back to doing news, but you guys tell me whether this is newsworthy. CNN faced intense backlash on Friday, writes the Daily Wire, after publishing a report, a so-called report, that suggested Americans should review a slight dip in gas prices as a, quote, $100 a month raise or a $100 a month tax cut. Now, why does CNN do this? Well, because they know tax increases are coming your way, courtesy of the socialists' Build Back Broke bill. So they're trying to say, well, the Democrats, because they ramped up record high gas prices in the summer, never been that high, and because people stopped buying gas, that's the reason why the price plummeted. In other words, lack of demand. You should be thankful and look at it as a tax cut. Yes. Then there's also, well, can we look at it this way? Since Beijing Biden took over the Oval Office, our gas prices have gone up $2.50 a gallon. So can we look at that as the Democrat tax increase? I don't recall CNN hitting the airwaves saying, yeah, this increased gas price, this increased price of everything at the gas pump or the store shelves, that's just like a tax increase courtesy of the Democrats. And that's like taking money out of your family's wallets, taking food out of your child's mouth. I don't recall CNN penning any so-called news reports stating that. So this is just absolutely insane. The feedback has been on this has been critical, yes, overwhelming, yes, and deservedly so. What a bunch of out of touch shrubs these people at CNN are. Of course, they're making six figures. What the hell do they care? Aurelian writes Ted Cruz on Twitter. Next, CNN is going to try to convince you that 2 + 2 = 5. In the meantime, since truth still matters, gas prices are up nearly 65% since Biden took office. So, folks, this is real world. Now, this might make me political by pointing this out, but I'm sorry. Sometimes politics kicks you in the private parts. That's exactly what Joe Biden and his political party is doing. We have a wide-ranging, praise God, depending on what Sean wants to talk about this week, wide-ranging conversation with the show behind the show. Sean Chastain joins me next on the Salcedo Storm Podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
All right, folks, it's time for the show behind the show. The second week with the official affiliation of the Texas Scorecard. Sean Chastain joining us right now. Hey, man.
Hey, how are you?
Great to see you and hear from you. And let's talk about the week that was. What was big on your radar screen?
Gas went up 40 cents overnight for some stupid reason. I don't understand.
What? Wait! Whoa! Hold on. Everything that I've been seeing has been saying it's going down. But
yeah, it did. I mean, it was. I filled up Tuesday and paid $3.19.
Okay.
A gallon.
Okay.
Filled up this morning at $3.59. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, that's weird, I got to say. I mean, I wasn't expecting gas prices to go down a whole lot because we're still paying a lot. But that type of price increase.
It's silly. I don't understand how it works. I'm sure there's some algorithm that somebody understands, but it ain't me. So yeah. All I know is I gotta buy it, and it's tough.
Suck deal, man. I had to go down to Leander for a podcast. That's where the Texas Scorecard is headquartered, and so took the Charger out for a spin. And I come to find out this week, the Challenger and the Charger have been discontinued. By Dodge.
Well, they're not discontinued. They are discontinuing the combustion engine.
Well,
so you will still be able to buy a Charger or a Challenger, but they're going to be all electric starting in 2023.
Well, see, this is what I did was confusing about the copy that I read on Newsmax. It said that Challenger and Charger were going away to make room for more fuel efficient vehicles. That was the copy that I read. So I was under the impression that these cool cars that everybody loves, Dodge was going to say, "Oh yes, we know you love them, but screw you, we're going green." That was what the impression I got.
Well, they're going green, but you can still buy a muscle car. Now the electric ones will be way faster than, you know, even the Scat Pack Hemi powered Challengers.
Yeah.
But because those electric motors are nothing but torque, and you know they're insanely fast, but you know when you're ripping down a quarter mile, you're not going to get too many passes before your battery's dead.
I was just going to say, for the 40 miles that the battery lasts.
yeah when you're, you know, in Texas heat with the air conditioning on and you're pumping stereo and, you know, you're got a heavy foot. Yeah, that old electric cage is going to go down pretty quick.
I don't know if you saw this. We did a series on Newsmax, the Salcedo Show did, about lithium batteries, about the battery technology. You know, it's cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
It's cheaper to make a battery than it is to recycle one. So all of this, all these battery packs are going into landfills, right? They're not getting recycled, number one. Number two, there are researchers out in, I can't remember if it was Norway or Finland or somewhere, one of the Nordic states, was saying that we don't have enough raw materials in the world, proven raw materials to do even one generation of electric vehicles for the world, much less do repeated generations. And it's like, hello, really? Seriously?
I know, man. I mean, new stuff will come along and they'll figure stuff out. But for the for everyone to be forced into the green energy, we just don't have the infrastructure. And it needs to happen organically. The government needs to be the hell out of it. And if companies will make money selling electric cars, they're going to sell electric cars. But, you know, when you live in a state like Texas and you need to go, you know, to Lubbock to drop your kid off at school, you're not going to make it. You're going to have to stop and charge up for 4 or 5 hours.
I get it.
And we just don't have the infrastructure. And for them to be forcing it on us, you know, it's just wrong. And again, we go back. I've said this a million times on this podcast that people need to really understand what the role of the government is, and subsidizing green energy is not the role of the government. So
subsidizing any energy is not the role.
Exactly. Any business at all.
Oil, green energy doesn't really matter. That's not the government.
Shops. It doesn't matter. It doesn't, you know, it's not the role of the government. So
I've got two things on the energy front I want to run by you because this is something we're going to be digging in. And actually it was your pals at NPR that did the first story that got me. And I'm really jonesing on this. So I'm going to do a whole bunch of coverage on Newsmax on it. Do you know what a vanadium battery is?
No.
A vanadium battery was developed starting back in 2012 with $15 million of yours and my taxpayer dollars.
Sure.
And the vanadium battery solves a lot of the problems you and I have just been articulating. It solves the storage capacity. It's way more efficient than the current lithium battery system. And so it solves, like, because if you have wind and solar, how do you store enough to run a city or to run a house or whatever, right? So this battery solves that. It also, you know how you use your phone for a year, maybe a year and a half, and all of a sudden you start getting decreased returns on how long your phone will hold a charge, right? Because your battery's going out. This vanadium battery, I think I'm pronouncing the element correctly. It lasts 30 years with virtually no degradation.
Wow.
Now, we can't get this battery. You and I paid for it, and an American company developed it, but guess who has it?
China.
China has it because your Department of Energy and mine, they were asleep at the switch, and they allowed the Chinese to swoop in and gobble up this company and take it away off American shores. Now, all this money, this technology and money that we sunk in is now benefiting communist China.
Doesn't shock me.
But it pisses me off. I am beside myself. And do you know why this happens? It's because all of these elected leaders are sitting there in Washington and they're thinking about their next campaign and they're collecting their $174,000 a year. And this government is so huge that they don't watch major breakthroughs in technology that is right out the door to communist China that we paid for because there's no oversight.
Well, I think they're well aware of the technology and they're invested in those companies because they can do that because they know, you know, I mean, they could, they can trade without all the SEC rules that, that you and I are subject to. So they can do that. And so they don't care if the technology goes to China because they're making a bunch of money in their investments. So,
well,
you know, it doesn't shock me, man.
I'm beside myself, dude. The fact we paid for it, and it was was a breakthrough.
I know. The Chinese have been stealing technology forever. Yeah, so
freaking leeches.
But then, you know, we do it to ourselves so much, even, you know, not necessarily the government, but we as just the citizens, how many Amazon trucks do you see in your day? And 99% of that crap on those Amazon trucks is filled with Chinese goods.
Chinese goods.
So we're doing it to ourselves. I mean, we have really no one else to blame.
No, I agree.
Except the Chinese. But, and if you don't want China to, you know, because every buck you pay into a Chinese company is going straight to the communist government to build some missile to
fire it
wipe us out. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, well, and so if you don't want to do that, then stop buying Chinese goods.
See, here's
and
the other.
It's tough. But
this is the kick in the ass. This is really because, you know, the people who are my adversaries, right, politically, we're into green energy. We're into green energy. We are green this, green that, green up your ass, whatever. Okay, fine. So that they're into green. They can't even do that right. This was the breakthrough they claimed that they wanted. Barack Hussein Obama. This was the breakthrough. And because they stink at responsible government, because these people have no prayer of administering a government this size, you get mental incompetence. Who are running the Department of Energy that just let this stuff go right out the door. And it should be here benefiting the American people. We paid for it. And it's gone because of no other reason but just incompetence. Incompetence because somebody thought they deserved a government job. They should kick back, relax. And here's your, you know, $45,000 salary, and you can never get fired because you can't screw up. Somebody screwed up on this, and we actually sent out a message, Sean, to the Department of Energy. And you know what they said? They said, well, we're looking into why this happened, and we're looking to nipping and tucking and making sure it never happens again. It's like, yeah, who lost their job? Who lost their job over this? Nobody, because there's no accountability, right?
No. So just, you sound shocked, and I don't understand why, but.
Because you and I are being forced to make up for this deficit of stupid people. That's what makes me mad. You and I have got to pinch pennies. You're out there in West Texas. You're cutting back on your grocery list so you can afford to pay your freaking taxes. You're paying up the ass for for gas, and then some idiot sitting there in Washington D.C. The patent going out the door. Well, gee, I'm so sorry. Well, where's my paycheck? And these are the caliber of people we're hiring. And like you said, it happens over and over and over again. And it's like, dude, I would love to be able to screw up at my job this much and keep it. Right?
Again, don't know why you're shocked.
Oh, come on. Seriously, throw me a bone here.
Well, dude, what do you want me to say? The only thing you can do, it sucks. So what are you going to do?
All right.
You got a couple options.
Yeah.
One, you can vote. Two, you can run.
Well, so
pick one.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
I mean, I don't know why you're shocked, because that's all you can do. And hopefully, you know, we get the government we deserve. So there you go. I don't understand why you're shocked.
Well, I'm, like I said, I think it's getting worse, exponentially worse.
Of course it's getting worse. They just, you know, they just put the job app out for 87,000 IRS employees. So of course it's getting worse.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm president, the first thing I do is review every single government job there is. And because there's redundancy after redundancy, that all goes away. And if you're not doing your job, boom, you're gone. You know, you're not moving up in your GS, and you're gone. So I don't know why you're shocked. I don't know why you stress about it, because there's really nothing you can do but vote if you're not going to run.
Well, I think the reason why I stress is that you just brought it up. They're sending out 87,000 IRS agents, some of them armed, you know, to take our property. And the reason why they've got to do this is because they're like, yes, we acknowledge we have stupid people running your government. And to make up for stupid people running your government, we're going to charge you more to make up for all the money that's flying out because we have stupid people running the government. Instead of saying, hey, why don't we get smarter people to be in government and smaller government so it can be administered? That's what I'm banging my head up against the wall. It's just like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that we're losing and why we're losing.
Yep.
All right.
I mean, and, I don't get worked up about it anymore, man.
And
I just can't.
I know. And cue the crickets. I get it. You know, they have the new ERCOT guy in Texas that's being named the head of ERCOT, the new president. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But we put out a request for him to come on and talk with us about, you know, the energy grid in Texas, because I'd like very much not to go through Snowmageddon ever again. I like that very much.
Yeah.
And we got a response saying he doesn't take the position till October.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so what, he can't talk between now and then?
No.
But seriously, there you go. So I'm still watching that front too. What about your week? What was other than gas prices, what was on your mind?
Okay, so tell me if I'm a jerk.
Yes.
In a drive-thru.
Okay, you're in a drive-thru. Where?
At a fast food restaurant.
Tell me which one.
McDonald's.
Okay.
Going through McDonald's.
Okay.
Car in front of me. Big dog in the back seat. Sticking its head out the window. Okay. Nope. Okay. No problem. Don't care. Girl at the window where you, not the pay window, but the food serving window, pets the dog. Dog licking her hands, petting her all over. You know,
no.
She's petting the dog. It's all good. Car rolls away. I roll up. And I say to the girl, are you going to wash your hands before you give me my food? And she looked at me like I was speaking Chinese. She said, what? I'm like, that dog was just licking all over your hands. Are you going to wash your hand before you give me my food? And she just gave me, you know, a rotten hell look and went and kind of washed her hands in the little sink and then threw my food at me. And there you go. So am I a jerk?
No. I mean, dude, how many times I've never had a dog incident like this before, but somebody wipes their nose right before they want to take your credit card or give you your food. And I'm like, dude, seriously? I mean, do we just not go through a pandemic? Are you that completely clueless?
Well, and you know, normally I don't really care because I, you know, I'll come in from the garage and working on the VW engine and then, you know, eat a burrito with greasy fingerprints. So I don't know why that just set me off. It's like, I don't want your dog's spitty hands, even though you're not touching the hamburger, you know, you're not fingering the fries. I just don't want your dog's spitty hand all over my drink cup, you know?
Dog spitty hand, that's my new band.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. I've told that story to a couple people, and they all look at me like I'm the biggest dick on the planet, you know, and just like...
Really? Oh, come on.
I don't know.
I don't think there's anything wrong with you saying, come on, man. If you're sitting there petting a dog, having him lick all over you, in a drive-through of a food restaurant, that is
right.
If you had been a food inspector, you would have nailed them.
Yeah, I would have thought that, you know, that would have been a pretty big hit, but
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a jerk. I don't know.
They should be thanking you for no, seriously. Thank you for tipping us off to, you know, we should be a little more careful about that because this employee is going to get them slapped with a fine.
Right.
So I think you did him a favor, to be honest. I don't think there's a, doesn't mean you're a dog hater. It just means.
No, I don't care. And if, you know, if she's in the park and petting the dog, don't care. But handing me my food, I don't know. It just bothered me, and probably shouldn't have, because like I said, all she's doing is touching the bag. I'm probably not going to touch where she touched anyway. So probably doesn't matter. But
well, what about the dude that was behind you? Or what if she, hey, can you come over and grab these fries for me?
Because
you have no idea what she was going to be handling after
that.
I think you did yourself and future patrons a favor. Not that, I mean, by the way, that you know,
with her attitude, if there was a dog behind me, she would have done the same thing.
Well,
her nasty attitude, but
you know, it's a myth that dog saliva is the cleanest on the planet. You know, that's an out and out myth.
Yeah, when you're looking buttholes, your tongue's not that clean. I'm sorry.
Again, my new band. We're playing down at Gilly's later on the night. All right? Come see Licking Buttholes.
Nice. Really nice.
Yeah, well, I try. So what else on your mind this week?
God, dude, I got nothing. It was just work, drive, sleep, work, drive, sleep. Just that's about all I do anymore. And it's
well, wait a minute.
It's not healthy. It's not healthy all the time. I really. And now that it's, hopefully not going to be a million degrees, I'll start doing some stuff.
It got rain.
Out a little bit more.
Got some rain, cool down a little bit. You know, how goes the aerobics, the water aerobics classes?
They are over, yeah. So.
Oh, they cancel them or you just
well, you're it's out? It's the city pool. And once the kids go back to school, because that's the only lifeguards are high school kids.
Right.
And so once they all go back to school, they pretty much have to shut the pool down. So
there is a school district in North Texas, folks, that Sean and I know very well. It's called the Keller Independent School District. And Keller, if for those of you don't, let me think of some. What?
I was going to say, don't fall into the trap that the media has been reporting. Because it's not true.
I'm going to talk about it, and then you tell me what you know. Keller is at what we were, there is an adjacent community called Southlake, which is a very high end area in North Texas. It's kind of like, if you're from San Diego, it's kind of like La Jolla. If, I'm not sure what the equivalent would be in Chicago or in New York. It's just a ritzy high dollar, high end area. Okay. So the poor man's Southlake is regarded as Keller. It's nice. It's just not extravagant nice. And Keller has been at the center of this debate over smut inside of GovEd, with books promoting homosexual underage sex as literature and also pedophilia in some of these book titles and some of these book. The book content. Now, the headline was that Keller took the Bible and what was it? What was the diary of what's her name?
Anne Frank
out because there were complaints lodged about those books. So they took those books out pending review with all the other child porn, all that kind of stuff.
Let me just stop you. Yeah,
so go ahead.
Because this story is so stupid.
Okay.
So anyway, a show that I work, we had the head of the superintendent of Keller ISD on. And he explained it very simply. The media has got this all wrong. So the old school board, which has been replaced because they were, lefty nuts. The old school board set up this program when they started to feel the heat from parents.
Right.
That we all saw on the news and, that are now deemed to be terrorists or whatever. So the old school board set up, well, if you don't like a book, you can complain about it and we will review it.
Right.
And all it takes is one parent.
Right.
And so some jerk who has since recanted, he just wanted to kind of point out the whole, how stupid this whole system was, said the Bible and the Diary of Anne Frank.
Yeah.
And so, well, according to the rules, they have to review that.
This is exactly how I reported it. Exactly how I reported it.
But now, with the new school board, now the old school board, their review process was pretty vague as far as, what should be reviewed.
Well, wasn't, and, well, hold on. Can I stop you there? Wasn't this also an edict from the Texas Education Agency saying, hey, look, you guys have to take these complaints seriously and you must do this? Wasn't that, didn't all Texas schools get that edict?
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah. TEA did issue that in April.
So anyway, they are not pulling the Bible. They're not pulling the Diary of Anne Frank. There is a review board with some more refined, more defined parameters as far as what's acceptable and what's not. And even if they did have to review the Bible, if somebody complained about the Bible, here's how that review process would go. Bible. Good. Okay.
Good.
That's how long it's going to take.
See now.
So this whole thing, school district takes the Bible out of the library. It's not true. And it's just a dumb story that people just didn't, you know, I'm sure it's explained in three or four paragraphs down. People aren't reading that. And headline writers aren't, the reporters aren't the people who write the headlines. So,
well, I mean, this is how I reported it. And this is, see, to me, everything that you said is absolutely true. I mean, the old Keller board set this up and they prompted some left-wing nutbag to go, complain about the Bible so we can show, you know, if we can't have our kiddie porn, you can't have your Bible. So go ahead and complain about the Bible. So this guy does, to, you know, as you said, prove a point, because all it took is one to do that. So because of the rules, because of what the TEA said, you got to treat all complaints the same, right? So instead of having common sense and saying, look, man, there's a difference between a novel that is graphically showing underage same-sex sexual relationship and the flippin' Bible, this was a vindictive move by those who set up this system to basically say, well, hey, you know, we're going to put the Bible on the same level playing field with our kiddie porn that we've been pushing inside of GovEd. And that's where I drew the line. I was like, are you serious? That with me was the common sense that there shouldn't even be a review process. If somebody said, I've got a complaint about the most popular book in human history, the Bible, you know, you tell that guy, go stick it up your rear. That's not what this whole initiative was set up for. But no, there's no common sense. That's what I was ticked off about.
Maybe we shouldn't do this podcast on Fridays because I am so over the news by Friday. I don't care anymore.
Well,
and especially when the news, you know, gets it wrong or the headline writers get it wrong.
But I didn't.
And people freak out because that's all they see. And
but I didn't. I didn't get it right. I basically called it exactly as you had because I knew exactly the politics.
Right, so what are you getting worked up for?
Well, because I mean, there should have been no consideration whatsoever over this.
Okay, even if they said you got to review the Bible, okay, that's what I'm saying. Review process probably took about a half a second, and right, Bible's
well,
in.
Well, don't like I said, so. It shouldn't even gotten that far. Now, what about you know, you and I have been on woke corporate America for a long time about how much these people don't make any sense, and you think government's bad. Woke corporate America really sucks. But there's a positive story out there that I've been jonesing to share with you. Smith and Wesson came out and issued a response to these gun grabbers in Texas, you know, like John Cornyn and those in Congress, the gun grabbers, and said, here's the quote. Number of politicians and their lobbying partners in the media have recently sought to disparage Smith & Wesson, Mark Smith, Smith & Wesson's CEO, said in a press release. Some have had the audacity to suggest that they have vilified, undermined, and defunded law enforcement for years, supported prosecutors who refused to hold criminals accountable for their actions, overseen the decay of our country's mental health infrastructure, and generally promoted a culture of lawlessness. Smith & Wesson and other firearm manufacturers are somehow responsible for the crime wave that has predictably resulted from these destructive policies. So basically, there's like, it ain't us, it's you shrubs in government, and we're doing the right thing, and you're doing the wrong thing. And I just, I thought this, we're trying to get the CEO on the show on Newsmax, because this is just fabulous. This was just great. They didn't shrink. They didn't, take a poll. They just said, screw you. You're wrong.
Yeah. When you call somebody a racist or a homophobe or whatever, a phobe or an ist or whatever, you call them that long enough and they know they're not, it just loses its meaning. So,
yeah,
you know, and people are starting to stand up and I'm enjoying that.
I really am. And Smith & Wesson, I made the commitment. The next firearm I purchase is going to be Smith & Wesson. That's going to be the one. One more thing with the CDC. You and I have been on, you know, vaccine, medical tyranny, all this kind of stuff. For, you know, a lot of in-your-face medical tyranny. Now the CDC is saying, hey, you know what? After the pandemic, we need to go and reform everything that we're doing because we really screwed up. I mean, now you say that? Now?
Yeah, but then they went on to say, and if we have another pandemic, we've got to do it more. So
did they really learn? Did they really? Yeah, did they really learn? Well,
you were politically charged today, man. You rode that one-trick pony all the way to the finish line.
Did I really? You know, and maybe it was because it was so much on my mind.
Yeah, because, you know, we had a little bit of a conversation before the show started, which would have been so much more interesting.
Well, I don't mind bringing that up, but it was personal.
Which is what you need to start doing, my friend.
Okay, well,
how many times have I told you?
Okay, fair enough. And then let's put this out because, folks, as you know, Sean is more of a mechanic, car aficionado in that regard than I am. So when I've got car issues or car questions, I either go to him or I go to a good mutual friend of ours, Jerry, the car guy, the car pro, for information. And my little girl's car, little girl, she's 21. She's not little. She's always going to be little to me. Her car blew a cylinder.
I guess seal.
Yep. I avoided saying that just to avoid the natural chuckle. Anyway, the cylinder's bad. So it's not firing in her six cylinder car, and that's bad. So she goes to a name brand. Should I name the brand? Should I name who it is?
It's up to you. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean it was Firestone, and these folks are, again, corporate. They got a lot of overhead. So sure. I was asking Sean, and I was running by some of these numbers, in particular for labor, and I said, "Dude, could somebody else do this just as well for a lot less than what they're charging for labor?" And you said,
it's not going to be a lot less, but I would encourage you and anybody listening, go to your local shops because these guys are all ASE certified. And, you know, it's not like the old days where you got some greasy dude in bib overalls, just, you know,
Cooter from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, you know, Cooter's not working on your new car. So all these guys know what they're doing. They're all trained very well, and they don't have the overhead that these big shops do, these big nationwide corporations do. So they're able to do it for, it's not going to be a lot less because labor is what it is.
Right.
But you can find, I mean, the difference between a shop that charges, say, $85 an hour to $120 an hour. I mean, that's, you know, that's a huge savings if you're talking about 8 hours worth of work.
Yeah, and a 21-year-old's budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, she can shop around. I mean, you know, they're with the interwebs now, there's so many opportunities to find out who's good, who's not. You know, just you can simply put the question out there on Facebook, hey, I need a good mechanic, where do I go? And you're going to get a million responses. So I would do that long before I, you know, haul it into these big corporations. But, and not to say that the corporations aren't going to do a great job. They absolutely are. But they've got more overhead.
ASC, you said ASC certified?
Now I'm confused. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
They're certified through an automotive
consortium or something like that?
Yeah, brotherhood, you know, whatever you call it. And so, so they train these people and they certify them. And And, you know, we're talking about college today, and you really need to go to college anymore anyway. And especially with you know, the student debt forgiveness talk that's going on. And
I'm glad you said it, because who's going to work with their hands, man? Who's going
to
work with their hands?
That's it. You know, when everybody goes to college, who's going to do the stuff that needs doing?
Right.
And when you think about it, I mean, plumbers are making close to six figures. So a guy calls one of the shows I work today, and he's talking about how he left East Texas after barely graduating high school.
Mm-hmm.
And had virtually nothing, two nickels to rub together, you know, enough to maybe eat lunch, you know, something like that.
Okay.
Gets on with a construction crew, sees how it operates, starts his own company. He says, I left East Texas with two nickels and an old beat up pickup. He said, I fly back to East Texas on my Learjet.
Oh.
I'm a multimillionaire with two daughters. One's a doctor, one's a lawyer.
Wow.
And so it can be done, you know, and but what I started to say about the mechanics that, you know, those guys are making pretty decent money. And if you're out there questioning, should I get that mythology degree, you know, and go in $100,000 into debt, maybe you should, you know, hit one of the trade schools and 6 months later, you're making really good coin.
Underwater basket weaving degree, maybe skip
it. Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a lot of crap. Unless you're specialized, you know, in medicine or accounting or, you know, some kind of business or law or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I think you should really question what you're going to do with the rest of your life and how you're going to pay that huge debt back.
Well, I think you hit I know you're into local, non-corporate, support the local guys, support the little guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's good for a lot of folks to do. And I mean supply chain crisis notwithstanding, I think you're going to be able to save some coin and also help out the local community too, because I think that's where we're headed back to that with the way things are happening, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool, man. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, again, I didn't mean to get political. I mean, all this stuff was...
Yes, you did. That's all you know.
No,
it's
no,
all
no,
right.
No, no, no. I mean, well, you know. I mean, school is a big thing for me. It's not necessarily politics. It's like, dude, we're warping our kids' minds. And again, and maybe I can go back to this. And my kid wasn't even raised in Gov Ed. My kid was raised in private school. But still, mm-hmm. I'm going over this stuff with her, and I'm going, baby... I've had these conversations about how to take care of a car. You can't just run it into the ground. You got to take care of it. And maybe it's a girl guy thing, but I don't know. It just, she just seems to think, you know, it's just going to go forever without, you just put gas in and it goes. But it takes a lot more than that. You know what I mean?
Got to maintain them.
Yep. Amen. Hey man, thank you very much. Appreciate the time as always. Sean Chastain, folks, and the show behind the show. Talk next week.
See ya.
There you go, my friends. That puts a wrap on this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me a favor. Two websites I want you to pay a visit to. TexasScorecard.com. Lots of information there for Texas and abroad if you want to know how things are done or maybe some of the things that aren't getting done right that we're trying to fix here in this state. Also, ChrisSalcedo.com. Go there. Drop me an email. Drop me a voicemail. Figure out where you can find the Chris Salcedo Show on AM 700 KSEV. There's an app for that so you can hear it all over the country. Or on Newsmax, 4 o'clock in the afternoon until 5 o'clock Eastern, Monday through Friday. Always at home on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Till we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me. We the people. See ya.